Okay. Welcome, everyone. Looking for the... Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, June 28, 2016. This is our regular city council meeting. We're located at the Veterans Memorial Hall here at 29 Surf Street. Thank you and welcome. For the record, we do have a quorum. All members are present, with the exception of Council Member Heading, with an absence. I believe he is doing his pharmaceutical board certification, kind of a schedule couldn't get out of. So we miss him. Hope you pass your test.
An excused absence.
And it's an excused absence. Thank you. And so with that, we'll call the meeting to order. And if we'll all just take a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Councilmember Magwetsky, would you lead us in the pledge? Recognitions, do you want to do that under announcements, or do you want to do that under the recognition? Well, let's do it now. Folks, we have a little bit of a little recognition. Our city manager will come up and showcase some things for the city.
I'll just talk from here for a moment so that it makes the TV feed and AGP doesn't yell at me, and then we'll take a picture up there. As most know, the city had the opportunity to host stage four start of the Amgen tour of California recently, and Amgen sent the city this very cool yellow jersey. The yellow jersey is given to the winner of each stage of the race, and it's signed by Peter Sagar. Don't take a picture of me. Wait for the council. Signed by Peter Sagar, who won stage four, which was starting here in Morro Bay, went up the Big Sur Coast and ended at Laguna Seca in Monterey. It was a fantastic community effort. We've already recognized the many groups and members of the community that that were instrumental in pulling this off. And this is sort of just another reminder of what a great time it was. So maybe we'll take a quick picture with the council.
Sure.
And spared no expense for the photographer. I should say, Mayor, we'll put that up in some appropriate place in City Hall so that everybody in the public part, so everybody can see it.
Great. Thank you. Great to celebrate. Next on the agenda is our closed session report, and at this point we don't have any reportable actions from closed session. And Mayor and Council Member reports and announcements. I'll start us off. We did attend a ribbon cutting ceremony for the senior living on Main Street. I'll look to Mr. Graham in case there's any kind of details on there. I believe it was 20 units that were built. Really fine development. We met one of the residents there, of course, the management staff. Great facility staff. Scott, I don't know if you want to elaborate a little bit more on that.
Well, it's a senior affordable housing project. took a lot of the local affordable housing agencies in the county to come together to sort of make it happen from a funding standpoint and to get it off the ground. I think it's a pretty fantastic development, and they were able to bring it together nicely. We were in the presentations at the grand opening were nice, and it's a good project. Happy to have it.
Yeah, great, Scott. It was a great effort by city staff and actually previous council that authorized the $600,000 contribution from the Housing in Lieu Fund. I think Council Member Smuckler was on the council when that happened. Don't know if you have any remarks or not on that.
None other than it sounded like all the residents were just thrilled to be there and had a chance to tour as you did and talk with the management staff, and quite a lively group. Most of them, it sounds like, are walking and biking around town. They hadn't yet established a dating program when we were there, but about everything else was in order, and they were even talking about that. So quite an addition to our community. And as we know, affordable housing is an important component that we don't have a lot of successes with like this.
This one was one.
Pretty special.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for that. And with that, the other announcement that I have, so we will have, it looks like we don't have fireworks for the 4th of July, but we will have kind of a special event. It looks like the Morro Bay Power Plant stacks will be lit up in colorful red, white, and blue colors. So we had a preview of that but a few weeks ago, and it looks like they were able to turn around and put that back together. So to celebrate, instead of fireworks, we'll have the stacks illuminated in the colorful traditional colors. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be exciting. I think we're the only one on the coast that can probably pull that off. So so with that, that concludes my announcements, and I'll look to Matt.
I have a couple. Last week, I was able to, with Councilman Heading and Mr. Buckingham, we were up in Monterey at the California League, the League of California Cities. They had a workshop for a couple days, and we went up and got to learn all kinds of interesting things about cities and municipalities. So that was very interesting. So anybody ever wants to come and talk about it, I would be willing to talk to you about it. Next week on Friday, the 8th of July, Project Surf Camp will be having its first day. It's going to be kicking off at Coleman Park. It should be a good day in Project Surf Camp. This is their 9th year in town. This is a camp that deals with kids, with young people with disabilities and their families, and we take them surfing. So that's next. And third, we all know we have a process on our website for Notify Me, that if people have an issue or a concept, something that they want the city to know about. But there's also the old-fashioned way that you can just track a person down and tell them. And so I wanted to let you know that there's been this, there was an issue on the bottom of Olive Street and Morrow Avenue, where the stairs are. Some of the pilings had fallen down, creating a hazard. And for those of you who know him, there is a resident here in town. His name is Brother Frog. And Brother Frog found me this past Friday and let me know that he could not call or send an email, but he wanted to know. And I passed that along, and the city, as far as I understood, did not know that that had happened yet. So I wanted to thank him for doing it, but then thank you for the city for this quick response, Mr. Livick. Thank you. And that's all for me.
Christine?
Yes, thanks. Good evening, everyone, and happy summer. I wanted to just follow up a little bit just to confirm our 4th of July plans prior to the lighting of the stacks. It will be happening during the day here in Morro Bay. So we are going to, again, have the 7th annual skate race, Morro Bay Skateboard Race. The Morro Bay Mile will happen. Registration at 9 and 10 o'clock the race begins. That will happen on the Embarcadero. And thanks again to Jack Smith at the Surfboard, or at the Skateboard Museum, for spearheading that fantastic and unique event. At noon, we'll kick off the bike parade once again this year, and we'll start it same as we did last year on the north side of the Morro Creek Pedestrian and Bike Bridge. So it'll be same location as last year. It's definitely happening, so decorate your bikes red, white, and blue, and join us at noon, and we'll ride to Tidelands Park. At Tidelands Park, there's a family-friendly alcohol-free event from noon until 5 with live music, food vendors, some local food vendors, but you're encouraged also to bring your own picnic if you like. There'll be local bands as well as children's activities and games all day. And at 2 o'clock, if you're planning your day, try to be at Tidelands for the flag ceremony and the official Independence Day program that will happen. So looking forward to another great event. And the unique part about this is the city's second year officially sponsoring the 4th of July and carrying out all the logistical details. So that's a wonderful thing that we've committed to, making this an important day for the residents and welcoming also to all of our visitors. And the last thing I wanted to mention is last week I attended the Economic Vitality Corporation meeting. We heard from several folks who are doing really exciting programs with high schoolers, trying to connect them to careers for those who are not interested in moving on to a four-year degree, trying to connect them with the careers that are available here in our county, especially ag careers. So it's a lot of exciting things are happening in certain school districts. I'll make sure to connect it to our school district that it's not currently happening. So we found out about that. It's a workforce program, getting kids employed right out of high school here and trying to keep them in the county. And then the second thing we discussed there, and I think we'll have a public speaker giving us some resolution on that, was we did discuss Pacific Gas and Energy's decision to close the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant and the impact that will have on our economy moving forward. And that was we had a special meeting there where we could have a question and answer to one of the PG&E representatives. So I know that there was a meeting today, and we'll hear about that from public comment. So I'll save that and listen for that. To get some more information on that. So we did discuss that. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Noah? None? Okay, we do have speaker slips in the back for those who'd like to speak for public comment or any item on the agenda. And if you haven't filled one out, I'll go through the speaker slips, but I will have open up public comment. And we don't have any presentations, public comment. We don't have a business spot. Traditionally, we'll have we do have a business spot. Charisse. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get the email from, Charisse. So we'll open up public comment with our business spot. Charisse will come up, and then I'll open up public comment based on the speaker slips for any item that's not on the agenda, or for those of you who can't stay later in the for any item on the agenda, can come up and speak now. Welcome, Charisse.
Thank you. Good evening, honorable members of the council. Thank you for having me here for the business spotlight. I am Charisse Hansen of Under the Sea Gallery, located at 833 Embarcadero and 725 Embarcadero now. I wish to continue being a presence on the Embarcadero. I really work hard at making a fun, inviting atmosphere both outside and inside my shops. I have had Under the Sea Gallery at 833 Embarcadero for 17 years, and I've put together this little video for you guys to watch. Lighting has become a huge part of the gallery, and then all of the other lamps and lighting that
want to see more under the sea, you can go to Kauai. They have one there, and in Avalon Beach, California, and then a second location in Morro Bay, which is coming soon.
I would like to thank Jesse Patella for that wonderful video that he put together for Under the Sea Gallery. He is for hire if any businesses are interested in some infomercials. At this time, I will mention our newest edition has happened on the Embarcadero. It's at 725 in the Roses Building. I am now allowed to expand my thriving business. We will have even more clothing. All clothing is buy two, get the third half off of lesser item, as well as we have a larger illumination room for the unique lighting art, more of what everyone has come to love and enjoy when they visit our beautiful Morro Bay waterfront. Thank you.
Thank you, Charisse. And with that, we'll open it up for public comment. And first on public comment is Susan Stewart, followed by Joel Wallach.
Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff. My name is Susan Stewart. I'm a resident and business owner in Morro Bay. A couple of things tonight. Glenn Silloway and I just scheduled a meeting to review the draft general plan vision and values statement for business owners in Morro Bay. We'll be doing it at Coalesce Bookstore Wednesday, July 6th at 5:30. The Chamber and Merchants Association are going to get the word out to people that way, but I thought this might be a way for people who aren't on our mailing list to hear about it. So if you are a business owner, let us know. Show up at 5:30, Coalesce Bookstore, Wednesday, July 6th at 5:30. If you are not a business owner, but are interested in having some kind of meeting, we have had one public one. We had one with the Open Space Alliance. Really interesting input from those folks. Contact Scott Graham or any of us on the GPAC committee, and we're happy to set up a meeting just for you. The other thing, I was pleased to hear all the stuff about 4th of July weekend. Wanted to mention one more thing. Art in the Park happens Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It is newly revamped, better than ever, a lot more vendors, super interesting people, beautiful artists. There's food and music as well. And want you all to keep in mind that proceeds from this event do go to support the Art Center, which in turn provides scholarships for, I believe, high school and college students for art activities. So really important stuff. I would also hope as we go forward, and I know we've been in this year of transition, that there's a little more local promotion about what's happening for 4th of July in Morro Bay. I think without fireworks, we're definitely going to see that it's more of a community event, and that's just fine, you know? So push it to our local people. Get out. Be part of your own town, your own community. Participate in these events, support the local businesses. Most of us will be open all weekend, including July 4th, which is Monday. Do some photo ops. Take some pictures of those stacks, red, white, and blue. Very cool idea. So hope to see everybody coming out, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Susan. Joe Wallach, followed by Rick Morse.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members, and staff. My name is Joe Wallach. I'm a local resident, neighbor, and small business owner. And tonight I've got a complaint to level, and this is the right venue to do so because all the departments are represented here. What I've been getting from the city so far is it's not my responsibility, it's not my job, we don't have the resources, we can't enforce that. Well, let's see if the council can give them some direction and maybe you can come to some kind of action. I'm talking about the first of the year in 2016, the city enacted its proactive community enhancement program with code enforcement. It seems to work well against the local residents and small businesses, but the city hasn't applied it against itself, and that seems to be the problem I've got tonight that I'm going to bring up with you. It's regarding the teen center, and I was a big supporter of the teen center. I was a big supporter in getting that off the ground, and a big supporter of the skate park, making sure that that happened so that the kids would have a safe place to skate. And it was successful. We built in all the factors that we needed, hours of operation, safety features, quality gear. It's been working great. You can even lock it up at night. Some of the kids climb over the fence, but they're just having fun, and it hasn't been a problem. The problem is we got a second park on the city property. So the city is the problem. It's not enforcing it. It's not supervising it. This park is 10 times the size of the original official park out front. And it's 10 times the noise. And it's unsupervised. And we got 10 times the profanity. I mean, if you want to hear the F word as loud as it can be said 30 times in 30 minutes, that's the place to go. It's also our new smoking area. That's where the kids like to smoke, the underage kids. So that's become the new habitat for everybody that wants to light up. Go to the back because there's no supervision. We've got a bunch of impromptu jumps and things that we've set up. And it's open 24/7. There's no enforcement. There's no hours of operation. And there's nobody to go back there because you'd have to get out of your car and walk all the way to the rear. The problem is we've had some minor injuries, but they've been minor. Sooner or later, we're going to get a broken neck or a head injury. And myself as a business owner, I had to provide access for emergency vehicles to get to the rear of my property. But the city doesn't do that. There's no access to the rear. So if somebody were to get hurt, and it's just a matter of time, then they would have to be transported out to the front of the property where the ambulance would greet them. And that's a real liability issue, folks, one that I don't want to be involved with. And I think the city has better things to spend its money on than lawsuits. But this is a pending one. Now, with the smoking area, we got a new California law where you're supposed to be 21 years of age right now for possession, sales, and use of tobacco products. I guarantee you there's nobody over 21 at that teen center that's smoking back there.
Mr. Wallach, the three-minute timer went off, but I'm sure our city staff would love to hear the continued response to this. I certainly will follow up with you if you leave your contact with us, but the three-minute public comment is done.
Okay, I'll take that, Mayor.
All right.
I'll take that as you've got my phone number on the speaker's thing.
Great.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have this number? Okay. Rick Morse, and then Eric Daniels. Rick Morse?
Mayor, members of the City Council of Morro Bay, my name is Rick Morse, and I operate Medmar Clinic at 334 East Olive in the city of Fresno. And I'm just here to try to keep the issue of medical marijuana fresh in everybody's mind. I'm looking forward to the conversations after the first of the year, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Eric Daniels.
Mr. Mayor, Council, staff, Eric Daniels with PG&E, resident of San Luis Obispo. Here today to bring you some news of some latest events that have occurred here in San Luis in Morro Bay. Today, the State Lands Commission approved by a 3-0 vote a request, PG&E's request to extend the leases necessary for Diablo Canyon Power Plant to operate until the end of its original operating licenses in 2024 and 2025. This was a critical first step in the step necessary for successful implementation of the joint proposal that we announced last week. Reflecting California's changing energy landscape, PG&E last week announced a joint proposal with labor and leading environmental organizations that would increase investment in energy efficiency, renewables, and storage beyond current state mandates while phasing out PG&E's production of nuclear power in California by 2025. The joint proposal would replace power produced by two nuclear reactors at Diablo Canyon Power Plant with a cost-effective greenhouse gas-free portfolio of energy efficiency, renewables, and energy storage. It includes a PG&E commitment to 55% renewable energy target by 2031, which is above the 2030 requirement of 50%, which is an unprecedented voluntary commitment by a major energy company. The parties, I think I've mentioned them, they've been mentioned in the past, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the parties to this agreement, the Coalition of California Utility Employees, Friends of the Earth, Natural Resources Defense Council, the Environment of California, and Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. We greatly appreciate the support that the commissioners gave the company and this coalition today in this historic proposal. At the same time, we have much more work to do to consider as we consider the joint proposal moves next to the state California Public Utilities Commission will be the next stop. We will file the proposal with the PUC in July and convene a conference of interested parties who will be able to comment on and join in the settlement. This will be an open and transparent process. The joint proposal is contingent on a number of approvals from the PUC, and which we hope to seek to achieve no later than the end of 2017. And with that, I'll open myself up to any questions after public comment or now if you'd like. But I want to thank the city as well for your participation and support over the many years. But PG&E is here to stay with a much more greener portfolio than we've had today, which is already the greenest in the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. That completes our public comment. Mr. Wallach, I don't have your contact information on the speaker slip. If you can bring it up to one of our staff here, I'd love to be able to follow up with you. And without it, I'm not unable to do so. Thanks. And with that, are there any more speaker slips for public comment? Not for general? Okay. With that, we'll close public comment for items not on the agenda, and we'll move on to our consent agenda. For our consent agenda, we do have public comment, and it looks like we have three items to speak to on consent. And I'll start with Tyler Conrad that wants to speak to A5, and then followed by Griviz, and then Sharon Ripner.
My name is Tyler Conrad. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm here tonight as a volunteer with Citizens Climate Lobby, CCL, an international nonprofit with 329 chapters, primarily in the United States. As a nonpartisan grassroots organization, our mission is to build the political will to ensure a livable planet. The viability of our planet is threatened by soaring CO2 emissions due to unrestrained use of fossil fuels. Our weather is changing dramatically as a result. We are experiencing higher temperatures, severe drought, and unprecedented number of wildfires. Climate scientists report that rising temperatures due to heat-trapping gases will only worsen each year if we don't dramatically cut CO2 emissions. Climate modeling research that is particularly relevant for the city of Morro Bay, that receives 90% of its water from the State Water Project, was completed by the Scripps Institute and the U.S. Geological Survey and found that the Sierra Nevada could warm by 3 degrees Celsius by the year 2100. Each degree of warming is estimated to result in a loss of about 23% of the mountain snowpack. This result was confirmed by 32 different climate simulations, making it an unusually exhaustive study. In order to reduce rising temperatures, we must rapidly lower fossil fuel emissions worldwide. For this to happen, most world economists agree we must put a price on carbon, and the majority of U.S. economists recommend a market-based approach to such pricing. CCL's goal is for Congress to pass revenue-neutral carbon fee and dividend legislation, which would levy a fee on fossil fuels at the source of production and rebate 100% of the fees as a monthly dividend to American households in equal shares. This will shield citizens from the rising costs of carbon-based fuels as we transition to a clean energy economy. To show grassroots support for the carbon fee and dividend program and to encourage Congress to move forward in a timely, bipartisan manner, CCL has launched a national effort to obtain resolutions from local jurisdictions. I'm here tonight to request that you vote without delay for passage of a resolution urging Congress to levy a revenue-neutral fee on carbon in fossil fuels. With your vote to endorse this resolution, the City of Morro Bay will join a growing list of cities which have already taken this action, including San Luis Obispo, Modesto, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Philadelphia, Santa Fe, and numerous others. Tonight, you have the opportunity to make a real difference for our children and our grandchildren to have a livable home on planet Earth. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have George, forgive me, Garivas.
Yes, sorry, my printing is terrible. It's Garagus.
Thank you.
Rhymes with asparagus, so, you know. I'm here. I live at 480 Morro Avenue, and I'm here to urge the City Council to adopt Resolution 5116 regarding the carbon tax that we just carbon fee, sorry, that we just heard about. Thank you so much. I urge your support, and I would support all of you if you did that.
Thank you. And Sharon Ripner?
Thank you. Sharon Ripner from San Luis Obispo. I'm also here to urge you to support the carbon fee and dividend resolution. And the reason for that is the importance of the support in district for our members of Congress. I've just returned from lobbying in Washington, D.C. with Citizens Climate Lobby. And every single one of the people that we met with said how very important it is to hear from the people in the district and that our bipartisan efforts are, in fact, working. We now have a bipartisan House Climate Solutions Congress or a caucus that is really working to try to find a legislative way to halt our carbon emissions. So your resolution here, while it might seem like a local issue, it really has national implications and will carry a great deal of weight in Washington. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And that concludes our public comment for items on consent. And with that, I'll close public comment for the consent agenda and open it up to council. Are there any items council wish to pull for consent? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to approve all items on consent.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Smuckler, second by Councilmember Johnson. Seeing any discussion? And with that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. And with that, we will be moving on to the agenda. Next on the agenda is public hearings, but by our municipal code, public hearings can't start prior to 7 p.m. So we'll move on to our business item, which would be item C1, adoption of resolution number 5416, memorializing the historic parking credits interpretation, temporarily suspending parking and lieu fees for the Embarcadero and downtown areas, and directing the evaluation of commercial parking program. I'm for announcement. I have a commercial property in the downtown area. I did correspond with our city attorney. There was some recommendation that if there's 25% of the folks that this is affected with by law, I'm not necessarily conflicted and looking for some confirmation on that. My feeling is this is not just 25% of the businesses throughout the community, but focused within the downtown area. So I'm going to just go ahead and voluntarily recuse myself from this item. The conversation on this is suspending parking and lieu fees. And then item B1, once we conclude that, is introduction of first reading of ordinance number 601, which is secondary dwelling units. This is an item that's been ongoing that I've also recused myself, having an item that's actually not in the application process anymore. It's been approved, but I was going to continue to recuse myself. City Attorney, Mr. Pannoni, any additional comments to that, or is that adequate?
That's adequate.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'll be recusing myself, stepping down from item C1 and B1, and Mayor Pro Tem Matt Makowetsky will be convening the meeting. And with that, I'll step down.
Well, thanks, Mayor Irons, for that. And now, so we move on, and then we go to Mr. Graham. And you want to start to present the situation?
Thank you, Councilmember Makowiecki. Okay, so what you have before you this evening is a discussion of the use of historic parking credits and or grandfathered parking. First slide there. So some background for this. The City Council recently approved a couple of consent of landowners on some of the lease sites down on the Embarcadero, specifically for the Aquarium and the Libertine. And the Council also recently authorized an RFP for the off-the-hook lease site. And in looking through these and looking through the history of these lease sites, it was fairly apparent that the City had applied parking credits in the past. And specifically for the Libertine project site, there were 79 historic parking credits that are strewn throughout the sort of history of that lease site, because several projects have come forward, just not been built yet. And then on the off-the-hook site, there was 58 parking credits that are fairly consistently referred to throughout the staff report history on that lease site as well. And so on the next slide. And so one of the issues was trying to get some clarification about whether it was acceptable to move those forward as those projects came forward, that we could apply those credits. And so it's one of the reasons we took this to the Planning Commission to get a recommendation. We do have current parking policy in the City's Municipal Code. Chapter 1744.020 speaks to this a bit. It says this section indicates a change, expansion, or intensification of land use, which would increase the number of parking spaces required, as provided in this title, shall be based only upon the number of spaces required for the change or the expansion. This is one of the sections that's been tied to the parking credits discussion over time, meaning you have an existing building. If you want to add on to it, then you provide parking for the piece that you're adding on to. You also see the next slide. Kind of went over that, so let's go to the grandfather parking. Next one. Grandfather parking, okay. It's also discussed in the 2007 parking management plan. There's an excerpt on the screen there, and it says a commonly used tool that allows a city to retain some flexibility in how it wants to consider reuse proposals for existing land uses and buildings, and as such can have a bearing on the extent to which the city may be able to beneficially revitalize underutilized sites and buildings. Next slide. So why are parking credits important? We have most of the lease sites down in the Embarcadero are fairly small. And without the parking credits, you end up with a couple of issues. Either we're then requiring those lease sites as they redevelop to put parking at the ground level, which is right now where we have retail spaces. We probably don't want that. And then that's not a very pedestrian-oriented way to redevelop the Embarcadero. I don't think that's probably something that's really desired. The second option would be you apply the current parking and lieu fees at $15,000 a space to the number of parking spaces you have. So if you had a redeveloped site that, say, they needed 40 parking spaces, that's $600,000. That's a lot of money and likely would make it very difficult to redevelop some of the sites, and we'd have a lot less folks interested in, say, the RFP process that we're currently going through for off the hook. So it creates a disincentive for redevelopment. Next slide. We've also had some inconsistent application of parking credits. A little unclear to me why that's been the case. Normally what we do see is parking credits utilized in relation to redevelopment of the lease sites. But in some of the approvals, we've required the provision of on-site parking and or the payment of in-lieu fees or both. Not really sure why that's the case when we didn't apply any parking credits at all in some instances. But it could be due to the lack of the historic record on some of those lease sites. Again, in researching through that, it wasn't clear, but I just wanted to point it out that we have actually required the parking and the payment of in-lieu fees and not utilized that sort of the parking credit program that we're discussing this evening. So there is you do see evidence of it of doing both. Next slide. I did bring this forward to the Planning Commission to get a recommendation for the City Council, and that was on May 3rd of 2016. The Planning Commission recommendation is threefold. It's to recognize the use of historic parking credits on the Embarcadero, to suspend the parking in lieu fee program on the Embarcadero, and for use in the downtown for a period of 24 months. What that effectively does is suspends Council Resolution 3705 that sets the parking and lieu fee payment at $15,000 per space. And then thirdly, develop a comprehensive parking management solution as part of the general plan and LCP update, probably relying on our existing parking management plan to do that. The next slide. Some of the reasons that were provided by the Planning Commission in developing those recommendations was, again, there's ample historic evidence in the record that suggests that we've utilized this over time. There is a significant investment involved in redevelopment of the lease sites. And changing that practice now would not be fair because a lot of those lease sites are relying on that to bring projects forward. And then lastly, I don't think we want to really provide parking in those areas at the ground level. I think we want those areas to be utilized for restaurant and commercial retail lease spaces as opposed to on-site parking spaces. The next slide. Some concern has come forward about just sort of eliminating the requirement to pay parking and lieu fees and having this sort of carte blanche idea, you know, kind of moving forward, meaning if a hotel comes in, they have 100 rooms, and they don't have to provide any parking. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I don't think anybody would be really happy about that concept. So I brought forward a couple of ideas for the council to consider this evening that aren't in the recommendation from the Planning Commission but do address that specific issue. And one would be to place a limit on the parking waiver, say to a maximum number of 7 for staff level review. Mostly what you would be seeing this and where you would be seeing this would be the as lease sites change out, as rental spaces in the downtown change out, staff reviews those, and so we would have a maximum authority of waiving up to 7 spaces to allow businesses to go in and out of those areas. That's the most likely scenario where staff would be reviewing those. Most redevelopment opportunities in those commercial areas that are larger than that would require Planning Commission review anyway, and so I bumped that up to anything above the waiver of 7 spaces would be at the Planning Commission level. And then if you wanted, you could cap even that to, say, 15 or 20 spaces before it would then require council review and approval for something more. So kind of gave you a three-tiered option there, and I think that's definitely worth discussion. And it eliminates that issue about we're just going to let everybody do whatever they want, and there's not going to be any review process for that. I think that probably doesn't play very well. So with that, the recommendation is to approve Resolution 5416, accepting the Planning Commission's recommendation, and maybe adding on some policy language related to about the review and the maximum number of spaces that can be waived. I think that's probably a worthwhile discussion and addition. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Do we want to go, I think, public comment first, correct? Or you want to do questions first? All right. Well, before we go to public comment, let's ask some questions. Go ahead. No.
Thanks, Matt. So, Mr. Graham, thanks for the presentation and particularly the last slide. In that scenario where we put a cap on the number that staff could waive and mm-hmm. had PC review a certain range and then council review a certain range, would appeals to that decision be done traditionally? Say if
yes.
Okay, absolutely, great. And kind of the larger question I think is how in a scenario where we go forward like this, like we have tried in the past. How do you see us really being able to address the long-term parking needs?
I think one of the things is we do have the 2007 parking management plan. That's a good document, and it gives good recommendations for how to manage parking in the city. I think relying on that and bringing that forward, and I think last time I brought it forward, there were some discussions about, well, how are we going to deal with bikes? I mean, there's ways to deal with bikes. I think including that into there, maybe updating some of the stuff in there to include how we address bikes and pedestrian traffic, for that matter, in that context, I think is worthwhile and something that could probably lead us forward, meaning that we don't have to start from scratch. We have something that's pretty robust that we, you know, for a starting standpoint on development of parking policies. I think it would provide a lot of extra parking for us if just we started doing restriping, got rid of some of the parallel parking and went to angle parking or 90 degree perpendicular parking, would add a lot of spaces in the downtown and in and around an Embarcadero as well. So there are certainly those opportunities out there. And then maybe looking at acquisition rental of some of the vacant lots we have in town to maybe pave them and have them as opportunities for parking until owners decide to redevelop them or what have you.
Mm-hmm. So in a scenario, say, for a larger parking structure, which is has been talked about and is discussed as part of the plan, I believe. Where do you cross that threshold where the development is on the hook to help fund that? I guess that's my question is, if we suspend one of the funding mechanisms, how do we avoid painting ourselves into a corner when it comes to really needing to bite off a big chunk of a facility?
I mean, the interesting part of that is there could be public-private partnerships that come along with redevelopment of some of the property. The city owns property in town that we could partner with development on where you could get a parking structure. Or the parking management plan, the 2007 parking management plan, has a paid parking component that could help fund some of, you know, those types of things, whether that's surface lot acquisition, whether that's future parking structures, it could be part of that. So there are certainly opportunities out there and different options available. So I think we could vet all that through the process of developing those types of policies through the general plan LCP update process. So
okay, great.
We're already doing lots of outreach, so we might as well add that into the mix.
Oh, wow, generous. Thank you.
I'd just add that you have to go back 5 years to find the most recent time that anybody has paid anything into the parking in lieu fund. So you can take that a number of ways. One way is that it's doing an exceptionally good job preventing any business expansion or planting. And so that's one of the things that the Planning Commission was concerned about with our city's fiscal situation and our interest in measured, appropriate revitalization, that while we're going through this general plan review, that might encourage some appropriate revitalization in the downtown area specifically, but also along the Embarcadero.
Actually, if I could follow up on that, because we did, previous council that I was involved with, did try something similar in suspending the in lieu fees and really had almost no participation at all. So could you describe just a little bit how you think this may be different?
I mean, it's a short period of time. It's 24 months. It's not going to open the floodgates to new development for sure. We're not going to get a whole bunch of folks coming in. We probably will get some that we've been thinking about it or that are ready to do it that would come forward. In the past, the council has cut the fee. I think for a period of 5 years was the last, you know, sort of range, and they cut it down from 15,000 or whatever it was at the time to 4,000. We got payment of a couple. The one that Dave was referring to was a $4,000 payment for the site that's at Grandma's Yogurt. I think it was a wine shop of some type that paid the $4,000, and then we ended up going out of business. So that was the last time it was used, and you're right, it didn't really spur new development. Again, for a 24-month period, that's a very short amount of time, and you'd have to go through our approval process to get whatever it is your project through the process and approved in order to take advantage of it. You know, if it's any sort of significant development, it's going to take you almost that long to get through it. I mean, to go develop plans, to secure funding to develop those plans, to bring those forward, to do environmental review, and to go through Planning Commission. If you're down on the Embarcadero, it's Planning Commission, City Council, and the Coastal Commission. So, again, those are long processes, and you know they need to be ready and kind of already thinking about it right now to really take advantage of it for any significant redevelopment. But hopefully,
my comment on that also would be that perhaps what was missing last time is a committed outreach to businesses to communicate the opportunities in Morro Bay and that we want them here. And so just cutting the fees is one thing, but as Scott and I have met with nearly 100 now local and regional business owners in the last since mid-February, talking about the potential revitalization opportunities in Morro Bay, and that's one of the things that's been a sort of a subcurrent, a positive subcurrent, and that is what's going on with parking and how can we deal with parking. So there are local and regional investors who are quite interested in Morro Bay and are likely watching the outcome of our discussion tonight. So there's really a two-prong effort. One is the outreach, and the other is providing fallow ground for planning a business.
Okay, great. Thanks, Noah. Those are good questions to start. And then following up on those follow-ups, I get it. This is short term. Sounds like this. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is a short term economic development strategy to see if someone's been waiting or someone has something ready to go that could be implemented in a 20 to 24 month period.
Essentially, that's it. The Planning Commission, when they were looking at it, this wasn't so. I brought this forward to the Planning Commission to get a recommendation to the City Council. It didn't include
the waiver of the parking and lieu fees. That was something they came up with in discussions, you know, among the board. They were like, well, if we did this, and part of that discussion also was, well, some of the lease sites don't have historic parking credits, or at least a history of what they are, and so maybe the system, if we, you know, isn't really fair. Some people get credits, and some people won't get any. And so they thought, well, one way to do that would be to waive them. And then they thought, oh, if we did that, that would spur economic development. So that's a twofold benefit there. We're being fair, we're trying to be, and we get a little bump maybe in economic development to get maybe new people coming to town, whether that's a new business or new development. And so that's why they proposed it, is because that's what they were interested in.
Okay, but that wasn't part. This item originally started out just having us look at the Embarcadero, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the Planning Commission saw another aspect where it could be applied. And therefore, so now we're seeing those recommendations brought forward to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then we did receive an email from the chamber, and I don't know if you wanted, if you remember that, or I'm sure it'll come out likely in public comment, but maybe we wanted to address that a little bit in advance about folks that maybe had paid, and this would be happening in the Embarcadero too. There are folks that did pay. That's just how things roll. Policies change all the time. You know, what would be a response to that if that comment were to be brought up?
I mean, part of that is the answer, is the city changes policies all the time. I mean, so in the past, when the city did this, you had a parking and lieu fee that was $15,000, and the city council for a five-year period said, hey, we're going to lower it to four. And at least one person took advantage of it and paid that four and didn't have to pay the 15. So that same scenario played out there. The question is, what's the benefit versus the cost, and is it worthwhile to do this for a short period of time? Again, I don't think you're going to get a whole bunch of applications coming forward. We're hopeful that we get a couple, and that would get some new investment in the city and show people that we are open to those type of new developments. So.
Okay, and then moving forward, the timeline is until we get this into the review under the general plan process.
So it has a hard timeline on it that could be extended. It's 24 months, and hopefully, because we're supposed to be done with this process by then, and the whole package for the general plan LCP is supposed to be off to coastal by then. Could it take longer than that? It could, and then this does have the opportunity, I think, for us to bring it back and extend it if it was worthwhile or it was of interest to the council, or it just goes back, and then it's the in-lieu fee, you're paying $15,000 a space until we do finish the process. I mean, that's fine, too. I mean, we'll know more once we get down that road.
Okay, and then part of the idea, so because you're a planning professional, I can ask you this question, and you can just, you know, give me your best professional advice. So through the general plan process, we would be trying to come up with a strategy based on community input about what we want our downtown. I'm going to talk about the downtown specifically. The Embarcadero is a little bit different for me, but I'm really talking about downtown. So we'll have that time to go through the community. What kind of businesses do we want? What kind of things do we want to see? Do we want pedestrian? Do we want more walking? Do we want more biking? So then they'll have a chance to take a look at that, how those uses that the community desires translate into parking.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have a very different policy coming out at the end, but we will have a policy, is what you're saying, with your commitment to reviewing the commercial portion.
Oh, yeah, and the council's authorized, and we're moving forward with the downtown waterfront strategic plan, which is also going to give us focused input to those specific questions. So we'll be answering those, and clearly a piece of that is the parking. And mm-hmm. as we engage the folks in the downtown and the business owners, that's an issue for them. And so clearly that's going to be something that's at the forefront that we're constantly talking about. So, yeah, there'll be something that'll come out of that, whether it's the policies from 2007 are fine or we need to tweak them or we have entirely new ones, yet to be determined.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you.
Wonderful. I do have some questions. And, Scott, you were very gracious to answer a lot of my more mundane questions today via email. And so now those built on some additional questions. Mm-hmm. Could you explain specifically with these three – I don't want to put them on blast, the three projects on the Embarcadero going forward, but explain with those three, with off the hook, what's the other two?
Libertine and the Aquarium.
Libertine. But in terms of memorialized grandfathered parking credits, your comment earlier today was like, these are businesses that have a lot of these built up. And so looking at that grandfather memorialized concept of parking credits, how will that? Do you foresee that going forward with just these projects, these three projects?
Well, I think the idea is if we memorialize that this is a practice that's acceptable to use, because so, the city has gone down this road for a long time and thought it was fine. We just noticed in the record that in some instances it wasn't okay, and it was unclear whether that was a policy change and shift to me or not. But I saw these coming down the road, and they had gone through the consent of landowner, and they showed you examples of what they were going to bring forward, and this was going to be an issue, and I knew it was going to be an issue. And I said, we need to answer the question right now, so they're not spending a lot of time, wasting a lot of time and money developing plans that they have. There's no way they can build because it becomes so onerous. If they again say you needed the 40 parking spaces, and we say, okay, well, you're not going to provide them on site, so you need to pay us those. You don't get any credits, parking credits, so you got to pay us $600,000. And that you need to, that's what you have to start with before you start doing anything, and that makes it very difficult to redevelop lease sites down on the Embarcadero, and is really a disincentive for redevelopment. So we wanted to get this cleared up so we can tell them, yep, you can use those. And so if you have parking demand that's beyond that, fine. We have a parking in lieu fee program. You can come forward and take advantage of that for the extra 5 spaces that you need or whatever it is. So it's a much more reasonable fee and not the $500,000+ that would otherwise, you know, be placed upon them. So, yeah.
If I can just expand on that briefly. So we're really sitting here discussing this right now because of a March item in which you gave consent of landowner to Burke Caldwell for redevelopment of the Libertine lease site. And as part of that discussion, everybody was excited about it. One of the things that came up was parking. Mr. Caldwell identified that he believed there was a certain amount of grandfathered parking. As you've heard, we've confirmed that was there, that the city has agreed to that over time. Whether that was a great process or not, there's documentation that says that says yes, there's grandfathered parking. So what we wanted to do was, instead of leaving the question open for Mr. Caldwell and other investors for the next 18 months as they develop plans and then finally get to the Planning Commission and the Council to hear that maybe, no, you don't have grandfather parking, we're not going to do that. We wanted to solve that part of the equation up front so that they can get a great plan together that fits all of our land use plans, all of our waterfront plans, and that as we want with all plans, that should sail through the process because they conform to all of our different requirements. So that was our sort of limited interest initially, was simply for some of these development projects that are in the pipeline, the aquarium, the Caldwell project, and the Off the Hook project specifically, to answer that question now instead of running a developer through the process for 18 months and then having to go back to the drawing board and change things. So simply to answer that question now, and then the Planning Commission sort of took that and went a couple steps further, and staff, and those things the Planning Commission recommended are absolutely in concert with things that the staff has been working toward economic development.
Okay, so I guess my last question, because you've answered it on, do you think it will become overly onerous to do these three example projects with the general plan being updated and work on the downtown Embarcadero plan? Will they be able to coincide?
I don't think there's any issue with that. We have policies in place right now that allow the redevelopment. We have a process for them to go through. They're going to be, you know, it's the concept precise process. So you'll get to, you know, so it goes to Planning Commission and then City Council gets to see it. And then they go off to Coastal Commission and they come back. So regardless of what we end up with for potential changes in policy for maybe what would be the waterfront master plan or design guidelines for down there that come out of the downtown waterfront strategic plan, those could be things we're paying attention to and things that we're interested in having them do if something exceptional comes out of that process. Otherwise, there are guidelines in place that say what they're supposed to be doing, and they're going to go through a very rigorous process. That's, you know, it's several public hearings, and so I don't think there's much of an issue that you're not going to get quality projects and development out of that. I think you're going to get projects that are well vetted just because of the number of hearings you have to have to take those through the process.
Okay, thanks. All right, with that, any further questions? All right, so we're going to open up to public comment. And our first public comment is Eric Crawford.
Good evening. Thank you, City Council, staff. My name is Erica Crawford. I'm with the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. We are thrilled to see this item on the agenda, and I'm really happy to hear the holistic kind of take on this, talking about the GPLCP plan and how this all fits in. I think it's all moving forward very nicely. Bob Teft, direct quote, this is the number one ordinance that is impeding business growth and development at that Planning Commission meeting. So the chamber does see that a reduction in parking requirements could and most likely would incentivize development in the downtown and Embarcadero, especially if we can work collaboratively to get the word out about the temporary suspension, to piggyback on what Dave was saying, to best ensure that it's used to its maximum effect. The chamber is also looking forward to hearing the council and staff speak to the businesses that have already paid into the existing in lieu fund, even though it was 5 years ago. I think there was a question out there, and they would like to hear how their investment has been used to date. I know the Triangle Lot is one way, the D'Estasio's, and how it will be recognized should the city move back into a parking management fund in the future. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up we have Mr. Irons.
Good evening, Council. Thank you. Speaking as a private citizen, I support the historic parking recommendation from staff. As a citizen and commercial property owner downtown, I offer a perspective on waiving parking fees. I'm concerned with the city's ability to maintain our infrastructure, as all of us are. It's clear that we don't have all the funds to pave our streets, and waiving parking and lieu fees is somewhat concerning as far as building the infrastructure for parking as well. I want to ensure that we have a good plan and be able to support the thoughtful development to be fiscally responsible for the community. As a property owner downtown, I could greatly benefit from parking and lieu fee waiver, considering the cost of parking and lieu fees at $15,000 per space. The greater incentive is the downtown waterfront strategic plan that defines the vision and the building process that is timely, efficient, and consistent. That was the exact message from the business community in the city of San Luis Obispo during a workshop I attended over 3 years ago. Fees were not the top of the list. The downtown of Los Alamos is attracting business development because of their defined downtown specific plan, not because of fees. Development in the downtown of San Luis Obispo is not being inhibited by parking in lieu fees. I propose the City Council not to allow parking lieu fee waiver for building until we have a downtown waterfront strategic plan to guide the development. 2 years will go by quickly. If we are to allow parking and lieu fee, consider a reduction and do that for the businesses only, for business expansion, and not for the building development. If you were to consider funds, particularly $1,000 or $2,000, the funds could be used for a program to offset the cost of an updated parking management program. Implement the elements of the existing parking management plan with enhanced angled parking to achieve more parking spaces and provide working examples for discussion during the update of the general plan and local coastal plan and the creation of the downtown waterfront strategic plan. In addition, continue to fully implement the CityWorks software program the city has already invested in. The CityWorks software is designed to expedite the permitting and business processes. Timeliness is one of the number one factors for the business community in San Luis Obispo three years ago during the workshop for business development, and it still remains today. Also, I didn't really pick up this note until I just thought of that, but I think at the last time this was brought forward, the $15,000 fee waiver was not legally allowed by the Coastal Commission, and that was something you'd have to check on. I think it had to do with the state lands or the Coastal Commission, but I think there was the discussion to waive fees or reduce fees on the waterfront, but it wasn't allowed at that time. That's why it was reduced in the downtown only. That's what I recollect. Thanks.
Thank you, Jimmy. All right, next, our next speaker is Rafael Torres.
Hi, Council. I wasn't prepared with that speech, but we do have a business downtown, and we opened a deli, and we're being asked to pay $120,000 for parking spaces to put tables. And we don't know if this is going to work out. So if we go into debt with the city for $120,000 and then it doesn't work out, what are we going to do? So, you know, we got to work something out that works for both business owners and the city so we can expand without having that big chunk of money that we have to go into debt with. It's just not possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And with that, we'll have no more speaker slips. Anybody else? Well, come on up and state your name.
Good evening, council staff. My name is Roger Ewing, 27-year resident of Morro Bay. I do have history with this subject over the years. Developers have been trying forever to eliminate in-lieu parking fees, and I could certainly understand why. Three of the projects that you're discussing tonight, two of them are for profit. A lot of people and a lot of businesses have paid in to the in-lieu fee, and I think it is unfair to them and to the residents of this community that you allow these to pay nothing. It's not right, in my opinion. I could understand the need to reduce from 15,000, but to have them pay nothing is wrong, as I said, and I think they should pay something. 4,000, 2,000, 1,000, something to keep the need for parking and the funds for parking alive. Two of these businesses are going to make a profit, and they are not paying the fees. You're giving them more profit at the expense of the residents who, down the road, are going to end up having to pay to make up the difference in the cost for parking. So please keep that in mind in your deliberation. And I would urge you to treat this item fairly with everybody in mind, including the residents, including the businesses. We are a community, and we should all be working together in fairness for everyone. And a pass on a very important fee for a for-profit business is not right. Thank you for listening. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Roger. Do we have any other folks for public comment? Seeing that, we'll close public comment. We bring it back to council. And so do a little bit of discussion. Christine, you want to start this off?
Sure, I have a couple questions then. So one of the public comments was, legally, what are we able to charge for parking in lieu on the Embarcadero versus downtown, something that's coastal?
The fee, excuse me, the fee is set by council resolution. It's entirely up to the council. Have we had the discussion with Coastal on what their take on this would be to this point? Haven't had a discussion with them yet. I know they've in the past required payment of in-lieu fees. In fact, that might be where the $15,000 came from originally. But they've gone back and forth on this issue over time, has been my experience. So I don't know exactly where they stand with it, but again, the fee is set by council resolution. So.
Okay. And so right now, citywide, it's $15,000.
Correct.
Per spot. And what we're suggesting by the staff report is to reduce it everywhere to zero.
Correct.
Okay. That's my question. Do anybody else have any other questions?
No, you got any questions?
Yeah, I think it's more of a clarification to Mr. Ewing's comments. From what I understand, the historic parking credits that we've talked about being already applied in many cases and having history granted to those sites, like the Libertine, for example, those most likely are going to cover the majority of the parking requirements for those projects.
That's actually a really good question. So for the Libertine and the project that you saw that you issued consent a landowner on for them to go develop and bring back, their parking demand is going to be likely substantially less than that, just because of the nature of the project that they're working on. I think that was really based on highest and best use with retail and restaurant and those types of things. This is going to have less of that. And then have some potentially hotel units above, which have a lesser parking requirement than, say, a commercial use on the second floor does. So theirs specifically will be less. We don't know what's going to come forward and garner city council authorization to move forward on consent of landowner for the off the hook, because we haven't completed that process yet. And we do have an idea about what the aquarium is going to look like, but again, same issue.
And then a follow-up question, the idea of reducing, not eliminating or suspending the fee altogether, if you look at 2,000 or 4,000 as was previously utilized, What are your thoughts from the staff level on that and how that could affect the future?
So I've almost been here for 2 years. We've had discussions with several folks about doing expansion of businesses and buildings in the downtown. When they're not able to provide parking, which in many cases they can't. A lot of the lots in the downtown are small. And we said, okay, well, we have a parking and loofy program for you, and we tell them how much it is, we don't hear from them again. That's pretty common. And so it serves, again, as a disincentive. It's been my experience with these fees over time. I was before here, I was in Pismo Beach for almost 16 years. And right before, up in, for the last maybe 10 years I was there, it was $36,000 a space. We had one project to pay for a couple of spaces, and that was it over a 10-year period. And it was the same issue over and over again. People come in, we want to expand, we want to do XYZ. That was going to be an intensification of use. Came with parking requirements. We told them what the fee was, and they never came back. The council realized that and changed the fee. They lowered, in that instance, lowered the fee. They didn't waive the fee. They lowered the fee. And it still remains lower than it, much lower than it was before. I don't know what it is at now. I think it might have went back up a little bit, but it's not $36,000 at this point. So that's been my experience with it, and both jurisdictions. So
yeah, just a couple of thoughts. This is a great discussion, and there's attention in all things, and so this, I think it's really a positive, a good discussion. The way this is structured, especially with that possible additions there, is this is not structured to, quote, benefit the big developer. That's not what this is going to do. This is structured to do two things. One, to the gentleman that came at public comment. So we've got an open storefront. Eclecti closed their business between the bike shop and Sand Prince on Main Street. The gentleman that that made public comment wants to open a deli there. Public serving deli. I'm looking forward to get lunch there. And wants to have some tables inside. Right now, he can't have any tables inside because he would have to have the additional parking, and that was the $120,000 bill that he quoted. So he can have a deli with no tables, but in order to have tables inside, he has to pay that pretty significant amount. So when we think developer, we often think the big hotel project, the big commercial project, the big housing complex. This is really structured to for the small local business person to be able to afford to open a deli and have some seating inside instead of just takeout. The other thing is I appreciate Mr. Ewing's comment about everybody should pay a share, and I don't disagree with that. On the flip side, part of this, in a sense, is marketing, and continuing to communicate to the community and to the region that Morro Bay is open for business, and we're not business crazy. We're not letting rampant development go on, but appropriate revitalization. And over the next 2 years of this program, if there's 20 parking spaces that are granted for nothing, that could have, at $1,000 a parking space, that could have been $20,000. Let's say we lowered it to $1,000 to make sure something was coming in for everybody that, pay a little bit at least. On the other hand, the benefit to me and to Scott to be able to go out to the community and saying, City of Morro Bay has said zero or a dollar a parking space or something, sends almost a cultural signal that we are open for business and we want to work together with businesses to get that appropriate measured revitalization to keep our existing storefronts actually open and turning over. So a couple thoughts.
Okay, thanks for that. That actually, brings me to the question about discretion. And in the structure here about having a limit of, if there's less than seven, then that can be waived. Beyond seven, then it goes to Planning Commission or then council hearing. Do we have the discretion in those hearings to recognize, say, a larger project does need to fund a certain amount of parking infrastructure? How would that be applied and not seem like we're providing an unfair benefit to a smaller business, say, and then coming down with more onerous requirements on the bigger
business?
So
I'm going to try to start with this one, because Scott, and then I'll turn it over to Scott just for fun. So because we actually had this discussion today, because as I was coming into work this morning or driving home last night, I thought, you know, what we don't want to do and don't want to send the signal is of we're going to have a 200-room hotel come in and not have to park it. That's crazy. And so I was like, Scott, how do we deal with that? Because that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what I just described for the deli at Eclecti and encouraging that sort of level of revitalization. And Scott said, hey, Dave, it's okay. everything is a discretionary process. So this goes through, when this would come to staff or come to Planning Commission, it's a discretionary process already. And the staff could, where we started with, the staff could simply say, no, sorry, your 200-room hotel is going to have to park your hotel. And then we thought, you know, it would even be better, Scott thought it would even be better to put some of these additions on here into writing just so we all understood that there are some caps. But even with these caps, it's still a discretionary process. And Scott and his team and the Planning Commission will identify, you know, based on location, based on type of business, through the process, it's still discretionary. So I tried to say that in non-planner terms. Scott, do you need to clear that up?
I do have a little more to add to that. So I'm going to give you a good example for this. The Bort Caldwell project that David referenced earlier for the redo on the Libertine. And what I had said earlier is the parking credits are going to more than account for the amount of parking that project's going to need. But Bert's like, well, I'm going to have some hotel rooms here, so then what do I do? Because I need to have places to put them, so we need to come up with some kind of parking system that deals with that through the discretionary process and through coming up with a holistic approach to looking at parking in general. Is I need to have places, if I'm going to have hotel rooms here, that people can park their cars overnight. And so he's concerned about that and wants to provide parking in some meaningful way. And whether that's leasing out space from the city and we come up with a program from that or what have you, it's looking at what the project is, seeing what it needs, because I think anybody would agree that if you're going to add 10 hotel rooms, he's right, you need to have some place to park the cars for the folks that are staying there. That's what gets developed out of the discretionary process. Is we look at that and we say, absolutely, we do. We need to figure something out for that. And that would be for any project. That's just one example of one of the, you know, the conversations and the thought process we're going through for to solve some of these issues and where we're going with them. So it's right out front. So,
Scott, that kind of gets me to a question in terms of this feeling out the process. Right now, the as you're proposing it is, put the in-lieu fees to zero. Is there a way to experiment with those fees, like Noah's saying, from 15 to, you know, do we go to a dollar? Is there a happy medium that we can still stay true to folks like when Mr. Ewing is saying, hey, look, there's a historical precedent here. We're going to have a lot of backlash on people saying, hey, I paid this. What's the problem? And so, I mean, how do you see this moving forward and explaining this larger process of the general plan? The parking plan, and then the trying to incentivize building and businesses, as we heard tonight.
This is a two-pronged process. I mean, we are trying to do a couple of things here, and that's what the Planning Commission's intent was behind this. It's, hey, let's go develop a policy that works, because right now we don't really have one. Parking isn't dealt with very well, and we haven't implemented the 2007 parking management plan, and so we have some deficiencies out there, and we need to go figure something out for that. The other piece of that is, and we've been sort of beating this drum consistently over time, is how do we spur economic development? This was one thought. It may not work. We may not get anybody to come forward that wants to do anything. That's happened in the past. We've lowered the fee. No one came forward. It didn't result in development or didn't result in folks taking advantage of it. We'd like to try it. If the council is not comfortable doing it free, then it's completely within your discretion to set it at whatever you want. It can be 1,000, it can be 500, it can be 2,000, it can be 4,000 again. It just depends. We've seen that it didn't really work with 4,000, didn't incentivize anybody to come forward. The idea, and Dave hit the nail on the head in describing this to you, is we'd like to incentivize a couple of folks to come forward to do something so we can take them through the process so people see, can look and see what Morrow Bay is about, what we're doing, what our process is about, and have somebody they can go talk to and say, well, what was your experience going through it? We don't have anybody to really do that for us other than Dave and I sort of rah, rah, rah out there saying, please, you know, let's see some, you know, some responsible development come forward, please, and talk to folks and see if they're willing to come forward and do that. This shows at least we're a little bit serious about that. And it's certainly an option. And if it doesn't go well, you don't have to keep it in place for 24 months. You can be like, Scott, this is not working. Bring it back. Let's change the resolution and, you know, to do something else or kill the program. That's fine. Completely within the council's discretion.
So with that idea, 24 months, yes, it is a short period of time. We have the discretion, the planning department would have, and then the council would have the discretion. How could the city get hurt? Is there a possibility? Since we have this discretion, any project that we don't want, you could say no. It comes to the council. Mm-hmm. Is looking forward to that. Whatever we set the amount at, from zero to X.
I think the long term is the potential ill will that it puts forward to folks that pay the in lieu fees. We're going to have to address that in some meaningful way. Part of that's going to be what is our program that's in place at the end when we're done with this? Is it still just going to be parking in lieu fee and everybody pays it? Is it going to be something else? And if it is something else and it's not the fee, then we probably do need to address what those folks that have paid them in the past, something that does something for those folks. Other than that, you are going to have some ill will, you know, about it. I mean, we've already heard some folks are uncomfortable. They're like, hey, we had to pay it. Now they don't have to. That's not fair. You know, that's an argument. I mean, I wouldn't discount that. If I paid it and you were sitting here this evening thinking about not requiring that for a while, I guess I could see why they would be unhappy. But there are bigger, you know, there are bigger things going on here. And we are trying to improve the economy here. And it's a short window. We're not saying forever. We're saying for 24 months.
If I could just add to the to address Erica's comment, so what I hear is that the chamber supports the recommendation, but also is interested to have a conversation and to know more about what might be done for folks who did pay in the recent past, and then what the in lieu fees have been used for. So. She hit the nail on the head in the last, the in lieu fees have been used for the Triangle parking lot, which added 100, 150 spaces once we, if we decide to actually strike the whole thing. And then the parking lot at the corner of Pacific and Market, and that added 49 spaces. So the in lieu fees are being used responsibly in time to add parking capacity in the city. With respect to the specific question of what can be done for folks who in the recent past had to pay the parking lieu fee, that would be a harder question, I think, if we'd had anybody in the recent past that paid into the parking lieu fee. Depends on how you define recent past, but the most recent one was 2011, so 5 years ago there was one $4,000 payment. You have to go back to 2009. So if we'd had a bunch of folks that have paid in as recently as last month, 4 months ago, and 12 months ago, it might be I might be looking for creative ways to help us bridge that, but the business that paid $4,000 5 years ago is no longer in business. So you have to go back, you know, to 2009 to find somebody that and then the question is, well, how about 2008? How about 2007? And where do you draw that line? And as unfortunate, maybe from one perspective as it might be, times change, things change, city policies change, and frankly, cities need to be agile and adapting to what the times and the conditions are as they set policies. And in really good times with really gangbusters development, you might be able to afford high fees. But in other times, you need to change that policy because it's not good times. So the more agile the city can be, the better we can react to changing circumstances.
All right. Thank you with that. So any more questions, or do I want to open up to discussion? Christine, would you like to start?
Sure. I'm going to break it up a little bit because I think that we're asking a lot in this one item. So I would think maybe if you wouldn't mind, we could take just the Embarcadero piece first. Okay. And just to clarify again, the Embarcadero projects that have what we're calling historic credits, those projects at some point in their life have paid into parking.
No.
Okay. So there's never been parking paid for at any of those projects.
That's also not true. Some of them have paid parking and lieu fees.
Okay.
But when you're talking about
historic credits, that's why I'm asking the question.
Historic credits are the city is in the past, is, and we have staff reports on them. And in fact, this packet is very long, mostly because I included a bunch of that background information so you could see it.
Right.
And you see it in multiple staff reports. You see those numbers brought forward time and time again, like for Libertine is a great example. There's probably four staff reports in there that identify that 79 number. They're based on previous uses, highest and best uses of the lease sites, and calculations that were typically done in the past for what was operating on that at some point.
Oh, great, exactly. Like that. So that's been credited toward that. It's a credit. It's happened, exactly. I guess my question should be clarified so you understand. The city's already absorbed the parking that came with those uses when those buildings were originally constructed and business started there. That's my question.
Correct.
Okay.
And at some point in the past, I've seen several different pieces of correspondence that referred to the fact the city didn't require parking for businesses on the Embarcadero. There was no parking requirement. And then at some point, we started doing something else. Unclear when. I just see correspondence throughout the record. It's kind of sprinkled throughout there and from letters that go back to the 80s and whatnot where we didn't require it.
Yeah, I think it's great you've done the research. Honestly, I think that we can really clearly see how we haven't had a structured policy on parking and why it leads us to convoluted discussions like the one we're having right now. But just to be clear, so at some point, that's why we're calling it historic credits, because at some point those credits were given to those developments.
In most instances, they were used in reference to a redevelopment of one of the project sites. Whether that ended up happening or not, another question.
Right.
Clearly, the Libertine's still there, and there's probably three different applications that have been submitted over the past but didn't result in actual construction. So that's why we have a pretty good record of that, and I keep referring back to it, and it's one that's currently, you give it authorization for consent of landowner on it.
So right, okay. No, I understand.
Relevant.
Yeah, no, I understand. So the Embarcadero piece is what I think we were looking for guidance on after we had this come to council. And also, we were looking for guidance in relation to the aquarium. I remember we had a discussion at the end of that item, too, about the parking for that project. Definite public benefit project for me is the aquarium project, so I don't have a lot of quibble over whether or not that would fall under public benefit. I think given where we are with wanting new and refreshed projects at this point in the city, I think that we already, there's nothing that's bare land that we're creating a use from zero there. These are already existing businesses that already have parking, people coming to park to use them. So on the Embarcadero piece, I'm clear that I can support the Planning Commission's recommendation for guaranteeing at this point the credits historically gone for those projects, the given for those projects. So then I see it's a different discussion I want to have with my two members here about some of the downtown stuff we talked about. Okay, so I'll stop there on the Embarcadero piece.
You want to go with that Embarcadero?
Absolutely.
Or you want to open up the downtown?
I think that's a great way to approach this. So these are the three bulleted points here in the staff report on the second page. And this is the first one, so it's memorializing those historic parking credits. And I agree with Ms. Johnson on that. And I'd suggest then that we move, once we've closed that particular point, confirm that we like the idea of the comprehensive parking management solution as part of the general plan update, which I'm also in favor of.
I would support that. I mean, looking forward, and I think that was one of my questions to Scott earlier in the email, is looking at general plan and the LCP plan going forward. And we have this pavement, we have this parking plan from, would you say, 2007? And so with that, that'll be a pretty easy introduction. And Scott said that that will be a part of the process. So going forward, so I can support one and two also.
One and three, maybe. Yeah, I think that the big bullet is two. Okay. Noah, did you want to start with two?
Sure, I will.
Can I interrupt real quick and just correct the record? So I misspoke earlier. The gentleman that came to the microphone actually is has a deli on Morro Bay Boulevard. There's another gentleman that is looking to open the deli at Eclectic. Both of them are downtown businesses that that are interested in this. I just wanted to make sure I made that correction. I messed it up.
And the question then, just clarify, so those businesses are wanting to park, they want tables inside or on the sidewalk?
I know. Go ahead, Scott.
So just in some instances, both. The one that was in that was going into the Eclectic building I'm more familiar with. We had a couple of different folks looking to do that. The conversation that we had was, yeah, we can probably get your business in there, but they were wanting to have more seating than was available, and they were going to have to pay parking and lieu fees. We said, other than that, you can reduce your seating area down, because that's what the parking requirement is driven on, is based on your seating area. And you can reduce that down to the parking requirement that was for the building when it was a retail use or what have you. And so that was one of the options we gave them, and just hasn't come forward yet as a result of that. But one of the other things people have been interested in is on street parking. We do a program for that, so they can take advantage of that as well. And there's not parking required for the first 125 square feet of outdoor dining area. So.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So leading into this, I believe I did support the reduction of 4,000 previously. I didn't have a chance to double check that. So just kind of knowing myself, I'm assuming I did, was willing to give that a shot. And therefore, this is, I think, worth talking about. And as I'm listening to this, I can see both angles. I'm sensing that reduction to zero or complete suspension could help and would be a stronger message. But I do feel that we have quite a bit of planning and implementation work ahead of us. And while selecting a fee of $1,000 to $2,000 may not seem like a lot to get us there, I think it's enough to make the statement that we still are committed to long-range planning, and we understand and realize that our infrastructure needs more investment. And yet won't be a barrier, say, for even a smaller, more modest-sized business to be able to consider that fee a component of the process and be able to continue forward. I'm making that guess, particularly at the $1,000 level. Even $2,000, it's considerably less than the $4,000 and quite a bit less, obviously, than $15,000. And I think what staff's brought forward as far as the numbers for a waiver and review is excellent, because it does protect us to make sure that if there is a bigger project that comes along, the community is guaranteed to be part of the conversation and to really look at it critically and make sure that staff doesn't have the complete burden of making that decision on their own. So I guess I find myself inclined to retain a certain portion of a fee in there and then going with staff recommendation on a breakdown of where they can do it by staff decision alone, and then what triggers larger review. So $1,000 to $2,000 is kind of what I'm thinking.
Christine, comments?
So then, if you're looking at the screen right now, just to understand what you're proposing, so here it says limit the parking waiver to a maximum of 7. So we would, what you're saying is change the fee to let's just say for discussion, $2,000. So then staff wouldn't be doing, they would be coming back if it's more than 7 at 2,000? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm assuming that in that scenario, staff, everything would still apply. All parking spaces would have a $2,000 fee to it. If there was a project that wanted to implement more, they would come back. There's a fair chance that they go through the Planning Commission process or the council process and still retain that $2,000 per space cost. But if there was a rather large concern about parking and us creating a larger situation, then we could perhaps look at a higher fee to make sure that they're paying their fair share. That's the way I'm understanding it, if we do retain a certain component of fees.
You could absolutely, the breakdown was for fee waiver. It could be for $2,000 parking spaces. Doesn't matter.
Got it. Okay. Just clarifying. Okay. And then no, it doesn't matter to you if it's new construction or expansion. We heard that also. Just wanted to throw that out for discussion for us. If it's an expansion of an existing business or someone going into a current existing commercial spot that it's already built, but is there any change in your mind if it's a brand new construction somehow?
Well, I guess when I think about brand new construction, I think that's what Mr. Graham was talking to about triggering a much more rigorous review and permitting process. So that's for brand new construction, it's guaranteed that we will have public or planning commission and public review is my assumption. Is that correct?
Large commercial or residential projects require planning commission review at a minimum, depending on where it's at, sometimes council review as well.
Yeah. So I think we've covered new construction just by nature of the process. You know, there's a part of me that wants to just go with zero, just because I think with this sort of protection, it would really help, and for small, and it's mostly focused for smaller businesses. So I don't know how helpful it is.
If I could jump in there, I want to think about on Marina when we have the old Sun Bulletin program building, and when we did the new parking spots in front of there in the past year and a half, and in terms of the parking management plan for the downtown area, and in terms of these in lieu fees, it's, you know, if we made it as it's a relatively small period of time, up to 2 years, and we do have the discretion at any time with whatever project going through planning, going through the planning commission, to nip it in the bud ASAP. But if we could, moving forward, I mean, I think it's exciting in terms of Morro Bay Boulevard, and in terms of that pavement, I mean, the parking management plan, the diagonal parking. If we did this somehow in conjunction and we could get this going, I think it's very exciting. So in terms of going down to, I am leaning towards lesser of the fees, simply because we do have a lot of guarantees right now, and we have a lot more, I think, to gain from the lower the fee, just to get these businesses up and running, and then for the chamber to be able to say, hey, this is what we're offering to bringing businesses in, and for that period of time, if that's enhancing or somehow promoting that the downtown and Embarcadero plan, then, you know, good. So, but let's hear what we want to talk about in terms of how low do we want to go? Do we want to go to zero?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to balance out our desire to support small businesses that will come into existing spaces that are, you know, we're really talking about infill business. And then I think, so how do we encourage those businesses? Because if we say $1,000 to us or $2,000 as a fee, is that still too much for someone who we're talking about? We're talking about a very small business. Is that still a barrier? And if it seems that we're not really going to be charging $10,000, you know, and really making a headway, and I'm in the same position. Do we just say, you know, $500, just so we have something put toward the process of bringing them in and somehow, you know, covering the cost of some of the processing fees on the city side, which wouldn't really cover it. But it's almost like, also, I would say, a commitment level, like the business is committed to the city, because I don't want to see people, because it's so inexpensive, just throwing something out there, making half an effort, and then we're just constantly rotating through different businesses. But a business that's committed to putting something forward that then, you know, would be a success. So I kind of feel like there's just this little bit of incentive. The other thing is, I do think it's really important that in this conversation we say, maybe several times, that this is really for supporting small businesses to come in or existing business to expand slightly to increase their traffic or increase services for residents like us. It's not always about, you know, creating something that tourists will enjoy, but something for us. So it's a balance for me. I definitely think development, though, should pay its fair share. Always, for sure, they should. And we're not talking about a large project in this case that's come forward and wants it, you know, 50 or 75 credits in the downtown for $500. I would be very uncomfortable with that. Yeah. So I think that, you know, we're trying to balance out the needs that we have in the short term, 24 months. Will it stimulate something for us that we would really, really like to have here? And if so, I could be convinced to go down to 500. I'm a little cautious to waive it entirely. You know, just be able to think, yeah.
All right, so with that, any other comments, Noah?
Just quickly with staff, at a $500 level, what are your thoughts on what you've heard so far from businesses coming in? Do you think that is a number that's going to help? I'm assuming it will, but will that still be the barrier?
That's a substantial incentive. I mean, you know, obviously free is as good as it gets, but $500, that's great. And I think that would be enough to get some of the businesses interested in what's going on, at least to stop them from walking out the door and like, God, I could, you know, I can pony up a couple of $1,000 to pay for my four parking spaces. They'd probably be willing to do that. That would make sense to them from an investment standpoint to get their business up and running and get them into Morro Bay.
Knowing too.
Or for expansion. I mean, even if they don't have to pay, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 and they can pay $4,000, that's $2,000, that's great. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it makes a big difference to those folks that's the barrier that we can't afford that. I can do the addition. I have money to do that. I can go to the bank. I can get financing to make that happen, but I don't have any way to come up with that $60,000 I just got to hand to the city.
Yeah, but that was completely insurmountable at the previous price.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we talk about another item, sorry to jump in on you, Noah, having these parking in lieu fees, like when we're doing the triangle parking lot for the city, I know even if we lower it to $500, at least we have money coming in that when we do have to improve these parking lots, that we're not just taking them out of general fund money. I know it's a nominal amount, and people could argue that it's pretty meaningless. However, it is something within this 2 years that at least we do have something coming in, or would.
Realistically, those funds, even nominal, could help pay for some planning, could help implement an ADA parking space or a bike rack or something along those lines, just enough.
Okay. I was just amazing you said that. We're going through our mind. One thing we could do, I wouldn't recommend putting this in a motion, but one thing we could do is the staff could find a great use for every one of those $500. Like putting an ADA space in a parallel parking place on a street, which is something we need to start implementing, and every one of those will go to one of those.
Yeah.
The other thing is based on this, perhaps we should begin implementing our 2007 parking management plan, and specifically at least the restriping pieces of it. Which will increase the density of parking spaces in the downtown area by probably 10 or 15% if we were to implement the four streets that were recommended that we haven't implemented.
Got it. And so with that, do we need to put that into this motion now? No? All right. So go ahead.
Actually, you could. I mean, what you could consider if you want to is to direct the staff to in a measured approach begin doing outreach for restriping of something that's already in the adopted parking management plan that says in September we intend to do this street and do it this way, and begin the outreach on that, and we can measure the positives and negatives to that. And at least we'll have direction from council to start moving that direction.
Do you have some comments?
Yeah, let me just ask. The way I read item number 3 here on page 2 of the staff report is speaking towards that, but it's committing to a more public process to do some vetting and review of that. So we have this parking management plan that's been on the shelf for since 2007, and to avoid the situation of us basically rolling that out without giving the community a chance to check in on it. Is that right? Is item number 3 basically saying we need to make some improvements, we want to be comprehensive about our parking, but we want to do it through the general plan update so there's a chance for the community to reconfirm that this plan is a good fit or we might have better ideas?
Kind of two-pronged there. implement the 2007 parking management plan. That could be specific direction that you give us. That's fine. The overall parking concept, though, is to come. I mean, I would think the parking management plan is going to lead into a lot of this, but we have more global parking issues in the downtown and the Embarcadero that we need to resolve, and that is maybe creating parking nodes and some things like that. This parking management plan kind of does that. It says some areas where you should probably look at having parking and then look at some of the larger policy issues like paid parking to move cars around where you want them and those types of things. And so I think it was kind of in that vein that we had that the number three item on there was to look at that. The striping plan that Dave was referring to, that could be a specific direction. I mean, that's a piece of it.
Yes, we did not. I think just separating those two things is important. Item number three, the comprehensive sort of solution, was more addressing parking and lieu fees, whether we wanted to retain those at what level for specific areas of town or not. So item number three was not directed toward the adopted parking management plan, but more toward a holistic approach to parking. Also, what I didn't say was implement the entire parking management plan. I specifically said a couple of the four downtown streets that are identified in that plan for restriping, not going all the way to paid parking or any of those pieces of it. But in retrospect, now looking at the Market Avenue restriping, there was some concern about that restriping for a while, and we held off, and then when it was finally time to do it, we did it. And I think most of the response has been, "Wow, that was sort of a good move." The only thing you might consider doing is adding some direction on the restriping that's already approved in the parking management plan.
I have something else to throw out that's separate. So if you wanted to close that,
okay. Mr. Pony, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Because of the previous discussion we had on the existing plan and having had discussion and sort of the council wanting to go slow with that, I'm a little concerned on having you tonight make a decision to go forward, because that really wasn't something that was on the agenda.
That's what I was thinking. Now, what about the approach where we ask the Planning Commission, say, to specifically discuss that component of the plan, the restriping component, so that we put our toe in the water of and re-show those components publicly and, try to work it through that way, see how that goes through a hearing with the Planning Commission, and then ask them to send recommendations back to Council, and maybe we do take that approach on that end of the discussion.
Okay, not that I was thinking about other things while you guys were talking, but maybe I was. So if this is a short-term stimulus to bring wanted desirable businesses into the downtown core or potentially on the Embarcadero in a small way, what would it look like to waive, let's say, the first two of your parking requirements? I guess what I'm wondering is to get, for example, anything into, so we have a downtown business that was a retail store, to change that use to a small restaurant, okay, which we don't have enough in the downtown section. What would be the traditional barrier in terms of how many more parking places would they need to convert a retail use to a restaurant use? If it goes from restaurant to retail, it's probably easier because you're losing. I guess I'm trying to figure out, if we really are truly interested in stimulating the business, what would it take to get those businesses in there? Anything over that makes us uncomfortable, what would that number be? So would we waive the first two to four, and then if it gets to seven, up to seven, the next three they pay $500 a spot, and then beyond seven it goes to PC. Do you see where I'm going?
You certainly could set up something like that. I mean, it's not one number. It's just not. It just depends on when you're talking about business going in and out of buildings, it depends on what building they're in. And then some businesses need large kitchen space. in small front area and just want a couple of tables. They don't need more than that. They have most of their traffic's walk in, walk out. It just depends, and we get the gamut that they walk in the door. So some of them just need a couple of spaces, which oftentimes you can accommodate because their parking is just based on their seating area. And so you can get some tables in there. And so usually it's a couple of spaces. I mean, a couple of, maybe up to four. That's usually what we run into. It's not usually much more than that.
Okay, so I would be comfortable going back tracking to say, you know, we'll waive them up to four. And then after that, I'm just throwing it out. Because honestly, if this is what I think goes wrong when you blanket something for a use you're not really sure of. If we're up here and we're talking about the small businesses that we want to see thrive in the next 2 years, because those are the ones that are going to be able to be mobile and quickly get into these spaces, then why don't we just waive it up until a particular number, and then we'll see, come back in a year and see how many new businesses do we have from today. That, you know, then we would know whether it's working, and if we're spending too much effort on getting those businesses in and we're not getting any kind of payback to enhance parking for the rest of the community who doesn't own a business and, you know, wants to go downtown and you know, park. Do you see what I'm saying?
So in that case, with everything said, you would like to suspend the fees to zero up to the first four, and then after the first four, then do we make that the $500, leaving it up to then the cap that would then go to planning?
I mean, I'm trying to make a policy that actually is going to work and not going to be a deterrent.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So do you go with nothing for the first four?
Well, that's what I'm floating, because I'm thinking, you know, if I'm a small business owner and I want to expand, you know, $2,000 is a lot that I could put into another part of my business. I mean, we're not, it really, you know, I don't want to assume that it's easy to come up with that when it could go into the business. So I'm just throwing it out. What would make it more realistic so we have something that actually people take advantage of, since we've said this is what we want to do?
And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, okay, that would be fine. Instead of just going carte blanche and saying zero, instead of saying across the board $500, let's really incentivize it with, go with kind of staff's idea at first, zero to the first four, and then after four, $500 apiece, until it reaches that limit, and then they have to, that if a larger business would come in, they'd have to go down the appropriate route through staff anyway. Would that be, that's fine?
Yeah, unless it's half baked and I need to be corrected in some way. Yeah, is that implementable for staff, the staff side, or is it?
That's not difficult. I mean, it's literally the bullets that I gave you at the end for options. It's adding another one that says the first four are free.
Yeah, and then we could see if it really makes a difference.
That's not difficult.
You wanted to take off the number three, correct? The third bullet, is that what you were saying? And put that back towards planning?
No. Sticking with number three, what emerged during our conversation was the idea of implementing portions of the 2007 existing plan. And what I was suggesting was, let's direct staff to take that back to those specific items within the plan back to the Planning Commission for review and public discussion about those components, and kick off the potential of a recommendation coming back to us about how to implement that in the short term.
Okay, so I think we have an agreement. Then who would like to make a motion?
I would love help on the motion from the staff.
You will also need to provide a little more direction if you're going to do the additional language for the additions. The third bullet there, I gave you a range. Probably don't want that to be a range. You probably want to pick 15 or 20. And that's when it comes to you, and those would be for the, yeah. That needs to be, we need to have.
Right, I got it. Is the seven a reasonable number if we're doing waiving the first four?
Just reduce that to four would be my suggestion.
And then go to Planning Commission with anything over four?
Okay. If we're not going to require a fee at all?
Yeah.
Well, I thought, Christine, your comment was there would be bullet number one, the first four parking spaces fee would be waived, and then the fees after that would be $500 per space until we reach the ceiling of 14? No.
And staff can grant up to seven, so four free plus three at 500.
Okay.
And then planning,
and anything
you
else?
Need to go to Planning Commission up to 15 to 20, whatever number you determine.
Okay.
So what you're suggesting is we go with the existing bullet points, but we just add the first four are at zero.
Yes, and I think that for the last bullet point on this slide, I think maybe
15
would feel comfortable.
I think we want to make sure
10?
That... 15 is fine.
Okay, 15.
Fine with me, but we just want to guarantee the public that there's an opportunity to review anything that starts to grow in scale.
Yeah.
And that's what that will do.
There's two or three different levels there that a large out-of-scale project could be halted. So I feel comfortable with that, too.
And this is, I suggest that 7 is a pretty good number for staff-level review, because that's probably 6 to 7 is the number of spaces to convert a space downtown from, for example, retail to restaurant or something like that. It probably costs 6 or 7 spaces, so that would be great if a business could do that next week instead of having to go to the Planning Commission.
Okay. So, I could try a motion.
Go ahead, Noah.
We'll see. Move that we adopt Resolution 54-16, memorializing the historic parking credits interpretation, and we temporarily reduce parking and lieu fees for the Embarcadero and downtown areas to $500 per space with an additional additional incentive of the first four spaces, the fee will be completely waived. And additionally, the review would be established as submitted by staff recommendation.
For the first bullet point, I mean, through 7, so we're doing the 4 plus 3 paid at staff?
Yes.
Okay. And then anything over 7, between 7 and 15?
Yes.
Would be Planning Commission? And then anything over 15 would be City Council?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Right. Absolutely.
So just to clarify, I think that's 8 to 15 is Planning Commission. 1 to 7 is staff, 8 to 15 is PC, over 15 is...
That's how I read that.
Council, okay.
Yeah.
And along the way, whether it's 7, 15, or over 15, the first four are waived.
Yes. So that's the motion. There's probably a little more we need to do, but I figured pulling out the discussion about the 2007 plan and so forth, we can do separately.
So I'll second that.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. And then do we want to have additional discussion?
Yes. So additional would be that we do direct staff to develop a comprehensive parking management solution working off of the existing 2007 parking management plan as part of the general plan, local coastal plan update.
That was in that resolution.
It was? Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
So,
the only thing that wasn't there was the existing plan.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll go ahead then and make a motion that we direct staff to bring to the Planning Commission for public review the components of striping in the existing 2007 parking management plan, and that the Planning Commission, with public input, consider those components and return to council with staff and Planning Commission and public recommendation for implementation.
And did you want to add some timing of when you wanted to go to Planning Commission? I don't know what staff's workload is right now.
Heavy.
The good thing is I actually have some availability, not at the next Planning Commission, but the following one. We don't have time to notice it for the upcoming one, but the following one we'll be able to actually do it pretty quickly.
Okay, so I'll leave that open-ended on the timing. I would... well, let's see if there's a vote, but that inherently in that motion is a need for strong public noticing and awareness so that we take advantage of that opportunity to talk about the different ideas there. And
I think we'll try to work with the chamber as well.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
So and that's a motion?
Yeah.
All right, do we have a second? I'll second it. And all right, so we have a motion, a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Wonderful. And with that, and That finishes item C1, and then, we're past 7, so I think we can start on public hearings now. We go back. Well, you guys cool, or you want to take a break, or we want to keep moving? All right, we're going to go. And so we go to item B1. And with that, we go to staff. Whitney, looks like you're ready.
Thank you. Good evening, council members. This is, once again, introduction and first reading of Ordinance 601, as amended per your direction to enable the use of secondary dwelling units as vacation rentals subject to certain conditions. The overall ordinance amends Title 27 provisions related to secondary dwelling units and guest quarters and accessory living areas. Just a little bit of background. In April, council focused on a provision of the ordinance that would preclude the use of secondary dwellings as vacation rentals, but voted to support the prohibition on using secondary dwelling units as vacation rentals as long as existing permitted secondary dwelling units that had an active vacation rental license could continue to operate. And council directed that change to go back to Planning Commission. On May the 3rd, Planning Commission voted to add a subsection in keeping with council direction. I'll go to the next slide, please. So in the original ordinance that was before you, this is the language prohibiting use of vacation rentals. You've seen this, so I won't actually read the whole thing. Next slide, please. This is the exemption that was added by the Planning Commission that basically says as long as the existing vacation rental license is in effect and maintained, that legal secondary dwelling unit could continue to be used as a vacation rental. Planning Commission did also suggest that you consider sort of expanding the terms of the exemption to prohibiting the use so that the vacation rental use would no longer apply upon sale of the property or upon expansion of the secondary dwelling unit. And let's see, can I have the next slide then? Whoops, one back. Okay. That language I don't have up on the slide, but it is in your staff report on page 2. Just sort of an expanded exemption section. All right, we can go to the last slide, please. So just in summary quickly, staff is recommending that council adopt this ordinance, Ordinance 601, amending provisions of Title 27 of the Morro Bay Municipal Code related to secondary dwelling units and guest houses, quarters, and accessory living areas, and direct staff to submit a local coastal program amendment to the Coastal Commission. I've just focused this on the changes that you had recommended since you had already reviewed the Ordinance 601, which is part of your staff report twice before. But I'll try and answer questions.
All right. Well thanks, Whitney. And we will open it up to questions. Noah, you want to start? Don't have any? Christine?
Do you mind just putting the slide back on with the additional language from the Planning Commission between? That's it. One more. There were like two triangle bullets.
Okay, so keep going.
There that we go. One. Okay, yeah. All right, so we sent it back. It's coming back again with those two changes, just to clarify.
It's actually coming back with only the change that you recommended that there be an exemption for secondary dwelling units which have an active vacation rental permit. These were additional suggestions that Planning Commission offered for you to consider. They didn't necessarily put forward language, and the language that you might want to consider is on page 2 of your staff report. Otherwise, the resolution that they passed did not include those. two changes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm just clarifying that those are the two things that we didn't discuss fully last time we discussed this. These are suggestions from planning.
Right.
Based on their public comment.
Right.
Okay. That's my only question. Thanks.
In terms of questions, actually, no, I don't have any. I have some comments later, but in terms of the questions, I don't have any questions. And so, no, you're done. So with that, we'll open up to public comment. Do we have anybody who'd like to speak to this? Public comment. And I don't have any speaker slips. So with that, none, we'll close public comment and we'll bring it back. And we're going on to commentary. Do you have any comments there, Noah?
Sure, I'll get started. And not much to say because I think we have talked quite a bit about this, and the work that's been done, I think, is in line with what our intent was. And appreciate the Planning Commission reconsidering this and double checking, because it is an important decision and the work that has built this to what it is now. So it's kind of nice to be able to close things up and move on.
And with that, Christine, do you have anything you'd like to add, comment-wise?
Thank you. Just in general, I think that the discussion we started having on this item really led to the larger discussion that we needed to have in the community about vacation rentals in general when they're not necessarily attached to a secondary unit. And I think we've had that conversation subsequently and taken action there. So, yeah, I don't have any reason not to move this forward tonight.
Got it. Joe, did you have any comments?
Thank you. I just wanted to, and maybe it's just me that needs to hear myself say it so that I know that you saw it. Remember you adopted a moratorium that had a 250-unit limit? That 250 limit won't apply to secondary units. So secondary units are only those that exist today that have permits as of today. They can't go more than what's today. Just wanted to make sure you knew that.
No. And as the ordinance says, if it's ever sold, or as the language would say, it would expire and not transfer. Okay. I'm comfortable with that. We're talking about four?
I'm not sure that language is in there.
No, those were Planning Commission suggestions.
Yeah.
And
we'll have to add that
I guess when we make the motion tonight, Whitney, we're going to vote to or make a motion to add those into it if we accept them.
Exactly. You would need to determine that you want to add that in. And if you do want to add that in, it's very easy. We'll just change the language under the exemption to include those two, as shown on page 2 of your staff report.
We'll take from that page 2 of the staff report and put it in on page 6 of the ordinance.
All right, thank you. And with that, I especially like this additional language in terms of right now we have 50 secondary units in town, 5 being used as vacation rentals. And then with this language, we are, you know, covering our bases going down the road, trying to keep that cap with 250 vacation plans, looking ahead to the general plan LCP as we come up with a larger policy. So I think this is really answering the questions to keeping affordable housing, answering the question to a number of the affordable housing, AB 1866. And then also, I mean, this is just, I'm really happy this is doing this simply because this is getting us started on the road to solve this larger question. So that's all the commentary I had. And so with that, anybody like to start the motion?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. So I would make a motion that City Council accept the Planning Commission's recommendation to adopt text amendments to title. Whoops. Wait, do I have to start sooner? Actually, I'll move staff recommendation, including the recommendations from the Planning Commission, to be included in the final ordinance. Does that cover us?
We need to read the title of the ordinance.
And that would be, all right, so then I move the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 601.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay, California, announcing findings and adopting amendments to Title 17 of the Morro Bay Municipal Code to establish provisions for review of secondary dwelling units and guest houses.
Thank you for reading that for me, Mr. Pannone.
So with that, that's complete. I'll second it. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries 3-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, we move on to item B2. There we go. The door opens. I don't know how far I was going to get, but we are going to start on B2, and that's the adoption of Resolution 5216 directing levy the annual assessment for the cloisters for the Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District. And with that, well, oh, I guess we just missed. Yep, you know what? Actually, since we're Mayor Irons is going to be coming back in, how about if we take a 5-minute recess? Or no? No recess?
He's already had it.
He's had an hour and a half off, so he's ready to go. And so with that, I turn it back over.
Dinner. Also note it's still light outside, Rob has promised a 58-second presentation for both of these items.
Okay. If not, he's riding his bike home.
No, that Bianchi with the 24 rear cog, I can't make it over the hill. So I won't be riding my bike.
54 seconds left.
Okay. Cloisters Landscape Lighting Maintenance District. Next slide. It was council approved the formation in 96. There's a park, landscaping, coastal accessways. The maintenance district is funded by 122 properties, paying a total of $148,944 as their annual assessment. Next slide. March 22nd, Council adopted Resolution 20-16, approving the preparation engineer's report. May 10th, Resolution 3316, approved the engineer's report. Next slide. The engineer's report has the major expenditures are mainly the contract maintenance, utility, labor. We'll end up with a capital reserve this year of somewhere around $75,000. We haven't finished the year yet, so we're not exactly sure. Some future projects, meeting overhaul, play structure replacement, turf replacement, and perhaps an adult fitness course. Next slide. We had a neighborhood meeting to go over the engineer's report on May 5th. We also toured the cloister facilities yesterday afternoon. The engineer's report was revised. Thank you, Don, for finally getting the formatting correct for me and having the table of contents work. Revised report, non-substantive changes. We clarified capital reserve, cash versus accrual, aligned some section headings, made the table of contents work, and the attachment page numbering. The final report has been posted reflected in those changes. Staff recommendation, City Council conduct the final public hearing, and then after the public hearing, adopt Resolution 5216, approving the levy of the annual assessment for the Cloisters Landscape Lighting Maintenance Assessment District for fiscal years 16-17. That concludes my report. I don't know if I made the time limit or not. No.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Blavik. And with that, any questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open up for public comment. We have one speaker slip, Ms. Beatty. Dawn. Welcome, Dawn. Great, thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Greetings. My name is Dawn Beatty, and I live in Moore Bay. I spoke here 5 years ago with a very different message than I'm saying tonight. At the time, I stood up, representing the Cloisters homeowners, to say how unhappy we were with how the city was managing our money. This is money that was being collected by law to maintain properties around our homes. Today, I am pleased to continue to report how happy I am, happy all of us are, in the handling of our money and maintaining the Cloister Assessment District. And so we can all go home. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn. We don't have any more speaker slips for public comment on this item. With that, we'll bring it back to council for discussion. Noah, you want to start off?
Yes, I'm in favor of moving forward. And did just want to follow up, Mr. Livick, at the last hearing for this. I asked about modernizing the landscaping maintenance requirements and schedule, and just want to confirm that we will be proceeding with that.
We will be proceeding that. We're going to go out to bid this year for a new contract, new 5-year contract. That's probably one of the areas where we need the most work is that specification for that contract, not only the modernization of it, but having some clear guidance for the contractor what they are supposed to do and not leaving it so much up to them on what they do. So I think we'll have a much better contract for this period than we did last time.
Great. And that will probably include a full audit of the landscape irrigation system.
Yes.
And updating. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt, Christine, Rob and staff, thanks for all the great work for getting the good report from our residents there. And with that, I'll take a motion to approve item B2, adopt resolution number 5216, directing the levy of the annual assessment for the Closures Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District. We have a motion by Mr. Makwetsky, second by Mr. Smuckler. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Great. Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to our next item on the agenda. Item B3 is adoption of Resolution 5316, directing the levy of annual assessment for the North Point Annual Natural Area Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District. Mr. Lavick.
Thank you. Next slide. Summary, it was a condition of the track improvements. There's required to dedicate the park and construct the improvements for park purposes. Improvements include a paved parking area, stairway, providing access to the beach, benches, landscape, and irrigation and lighting. The irrigation and lighting, I think it was brought up last meeting that public comment didn't know that existed out there. Quite frank, I didn't know it existed out there either till I looked real carefully. It's along Toro Lane, along the freeway side. There's some bollard lights and some landscape irrigation that is maintained by the assessment district. And the other condition was that the maintenance be provided to the park by establishment of a landscape lighting maintenance assessment district. Next slide. The engineer's report, major expenditures are for maintenance and utilities. Utilities consisting of water and electricity. We had some corrections to the engineer's report since the Cloisters report was boilerplate for this one. I didn't catch all the Cloisters references, but those have all been deleted. We removed fencing. We cannot find any fencing that was ever installed out there from the list of maintenance items, but we kept in the irrigation and lighting. Potential future projects out there would be some establishment of some native plantings where perhaps we were a bit overzealous with some clearing activities, and then some rock placement to preclude vehicles from driving up the slope and accessing the top of the bluff area there. Staff recommends that City Council conduct its final public hearing on this item and adopt Resolution 53-16 approving the levy of the annual assessment for the North Point Landscape Lighting Maintenance Assessment District for fiscal year 2016-2017. That concludes my report and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we don't have any speaker slips for this item, so I'll open up for questions from Council or comments. Seeing none, I'll take a motion to adopt resolution number 5316, directing the levy of the annual assessment for the North Point Natural Area Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Johnson, second by Mr. Smuckler. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. And with that, that concludes our staff report. Any future agenda items at this point? To my left,
Right? I do have one, and I'm assuming it was going to come up eventually, but it would be good to just agendize a discussion, an update, basically tracking the closure of the Diablo Canyon power plants, and as good information is available that may affect Morro Bay, that we have a conversation about the larger implications of that specific to Morro Bay. And it could be an informational item, but
presentation,
yeah. And you know, with items like the switchyard, you know, basic questions like will our assumptions on the switchyard change due to this and so forth. But, and not something that I think needs to happen in the short term,
But as information emerges, there will be a time where I think we're going to have to at least have an informational presentation about this.
Yeah, I think once it gets through the next phase, the Public Utilities Commission, that's probably a time post that hearing when we know how long they'll be here for sure, then I would support that, yeah.
Yep, I would support it as well. Okay, we have a unanimous support on that. Any further discussion on that? Seeing none, we'll adjourn the meeting at 8:21.
Okay.
Thank you.